but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Smith hands to Simonton. Simonton around the corner.
.44-41, Ken Simonton with the big touchdown and an Oregon State Civil War win. Long ago, feels like a long time ago. Here to talk about the Civil War, Trent Walker, wide receiver, Oregon State, in a segment brought to you by Jamba. Life is better blended. Trent Walker, what are your Civil War memories as a kid watching these games?
Yeah, I remember growing up, the two guys that stood out to me the most was Jaquiz and James.
Yeah.
I know my parents would never really let me go to the games in Eugene. I think I only went to one in Reeser. I remember they were like, it's just too hostile. Because I was young back then, so
yeah.
All I know about the Civil War is just how hostile the environment is at both stadiums.
How are you guys feeling going into this game? You're coming off a tough one at Texas Tech. How's the locker room? How's the mood? How's the mentality?
Collectively, I think we still feel good. I think it's real easy to get up for a team down south. I think the guys are looking forward to it. We're staying in our home hotel, so we don't got to get on a plane or anything like that. I mean, this is why you play football. This is like the biggest rivalry. For Oregon, Oregon State, so we're looking forward to it.
You know, there's been a little bit of trash talk this week. Surprised me a little bit. Normally it's quiet, but Ducks linebacker Jerry Mixon had this to say.
It's a big rivalry game. Everybody pop out in Oregon. And just from being here that they're our little bros, and we go out there and kick their ass.
How'd that go over in your locker room?
I'm not gonna add fuel to their fire, but we definitely heard it. We got us fired up.
Yeah, I imagine. I don't know. There's such a thing as a bulletin board, but you know, is that the kind of thing that you see it somewhere and guys kind of pass it around, or does it get talked about?
A little bit of both. I know a couple dudes sent me the interview or whatever. I know I heard guys talking about it in the locker room. It is your classic bulletin board. Motivation, but I mean, it's whatever. We got to earn some respect down there.
Yeah, it does come down to that, doesn't it? I mean, you got to play well, and you guys, you know, have had stretches where you do and then stretches where you don't. Can you put your finger on the differences when you're playing well, what's going right, what things are clicking?
The communication, I think, especially on the offensive side, when we're communicating, we're getting our jobs done. And it last week was kind of proof of that. It was before the rain delay. It was loud over at Tech, and we were anticipating that. But nothing really gets you ready for not even be able to hear you think. So it just goes back to over communicating in the huddle, over communicating on the field.
I am looking at this game, and it feels like a tall task. But what do you see on film when you look at Oregon's defense?
Yeah, they. I think the thing that jumps out the most to me when I was watching the tape was how well they communicate on defense. I think they play well as a team. You're not going to get that many like busted coverages or whatever, but In terms of like defensive, like the DBs and the corners, I think they're all real young. I think they got a couple of true freshmen and some redshirt freshmen who are good players. Don't get me wrong, but I think they don't have as much experience as we do on the receiver end. But I think they're a good defense. They're explosive offense. It is a tall task if you put it that way, but I think we're excited for it.
Yeah, you can't back away from that. We're talking to Trent Walker, wide receiver, Oregon State. Look, the Texas Tech game, you know, your coach after the game kind of talked about the effort not being there, and that is something you can control. Do you feel like that got addressed at practice in through conversations with the coaching staff that, you know, guys are going to run to the ball and guys are going to play hard?
Yeah, that was a big focal point this week. I think I heard Coach Gundy yell more this week than I have in the 2 years of being with him. Likewise with Bray. So I think just the energy at practice was pretty high. I think it was, I don't want to say it was higher than like camp, but
right,
for having our schedule be where it is and having the energy be what it was good to see. And I think that goes to why we feel so good going into this week and moving forward in the season.
I think a lot of people are trying to pay attention to the locker room and go, hey, is this locker room together? I know it's hard. Like, you know, look, I played on a college baseball team where our coach got fired at the end of the year. It was a hard year. And you really, it took a lot of focus and concentration when you're not getting the result to focus and lock in and continue to do the things that you know result in success. The collective psyche of the locker room, you hit on it a little bit earlier, but, you know, does Coach Bray still have this locker room? Does he have guys willing to run through walls for him?
Yeah, no doubt. I think, I'm not a fan of seeing all the tweets on Twitter,
yeah,
bashing on Coach Bray. I think, I'm gonna take responsibility as myself. Like, we didn't execute. I've been saying that for the past 3 weeks on this show. Like, we're just not executing. I don't think it has anything to do with how Bray coaches. I think if there was anyone that this team would run through a wall for, it would be Coach Bray. I think in the locker room, we're all still together. I don't think – I haven't seen any fingers being pointed. I think we're – obviously, our record's not in a good spot, but I feel like our team's in a good spot.
Trent, I got into Jamba the other day, and I got the protein berry workout drink, and I highly recommend it. You can get a little whey protein extra put in there. What are you drinking lately?
I tried the Maui Mommy, I think it was called, and a green gummy, and both those were pretty good.
You like them both. All right. High reviews. Do you get a Jamba? Because I know on a road trip, you get a Jamba as you're getting on the plane. If you're just taking the bus to Eugene, do you get a Jamba on that trip, or is that too close to game day and kickoff?
You know, I don't know. I feel like I don't remember getting one back in 23.
Yeah.
I don't remember getting one, but I know with the hookup that Jamba gave me with the EQ guys, it being like National Equipment Manager Day next week, I know I hooked them up with some stuff over at Jamba.
Nice. Like that. You're going to be wildly popular. All right, so big game. Film prep, does the prep stop at any point for you? I mean, is there a point of watching so much film that you're, you know, sort of paralyzing yourself a little bit, or do you watch it all the way till, you know, maybe you're getting on the bus?
I don't think there's a point where you can watch too much film. I think you can always watch more film. I spend a couple hours a day watching it throughout the day. Like, I don't sit down and watch 2 hours straight. Like, I'll sit down and watch 20, 30 minutes here, 20, 30 minutes there. And then usually if it's like a night game, I'm still watching film that Saturday just to kind of remind me of like my little tips that I've written down and whatnot. So, I mean, you can never really watch too much film. You can never know the opponent well enough.
Now, in prior years, maybe back in the day, you used to be able to see kids on both sides who grew up in this state. It's become harder because I think more of the rosters have become kids who are not from the state of Oregon or maybe even Southern Washington. You got a lot of California kids, but there's some guys over on the Oregon side that, you know, played at Lake Oswego and other places. Do you have friends on that from Central Catholic or LO or other schools that are over on the Oregon side?
I know a couple dudes. I was never really like that close with them, but I know a guy that went to Jesuit. He played O-line over there.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not friends with too many Ducks.
You ever consider going there?
No, can't say I did.
Was it Oregon State all the way for you, or what other choices did you have?
Well, I didn't really have that many choices coming out of high school. I know I had like 4 Division I offers. Like 2 of them were FCS, and then I had Army and Air Force.
Wow.
And then I think, and the story was on the on signing day, Coach Cook is our old special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
He gave me a call and was like, we have a preferred walk-on spot for you if you want it. And I was going to commit to Portland State, and as soon as he gave me that call, I was like, yep.
That had to be a good call. Did you ever consider Army or Air Force? Did you go on a visit at either one?
No, I couldn't visit any of them because I was like prime COVID. Mm. But I was heavily considering Air Force. It was between Air Force and Portland State because my grandpa was in the Air Force. So I had some ties over there.
Grandpa probably had some stories. Did you grow up hearing stories about the Air Force and the Academy?
Yeah, I heard a couple. I'm sure he censored a good amount of them, though.
I like that. All right, listen. Good luck on Saturday. I will see you at the stadium. Give him hell, and appreciate you coming on every week, and enjoy the Jamba in the meantime.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man.
All right, there he goes. Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver. He's sampling the Jamba menu lately. I did try the protein berry workout drink. It's pretty good. I felt good drinking it, too. That was the biggest thing. But interesting, too, because in prior years, we used to be able to look at these rosters. And it's part of this is just the changing landscape of college football. I'm not knocking on Oregon here. Like, I don't expect Oregon to take 20 guys in their next class from the state of Oregon. But, you know, they've got Atticus Sappington, who was at Oregon State, who is a Central Catholic kid. There are a couple of offensive linemen from Central Catholic and a defensive back, Zach Grisham, who's from Central. You know, he mentioned Jesuit. There's 2 kids from Jesuit, Charlie Pickert, the offensive lineman that he mentioned, and Cormac O'Flaherty, who is a DB. And then there's Lake Oswego. Obviously, Justice Lowe is from Lake Oswego. A couple Lake Ridge kids, including Luke Basso. You know, it doesn't have the flavor. And Stephen, maybe you can speak to this a little bit because you went to high school in this state. I think we used to see a lot more kids who grew up watching the rivalry. And I get that, like, some of the Oregon players are saying, yes, this is a great rivalry, and the Oregon State players say it. But I really wonder how much they understand about the rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, that was the whole thing, is you had to choose. You're either a Duck or a Beeve. And then even as you get older, like, and you start working at a place, I remember, you know, there'd be Ducks and Beeves stuff everywhere, and everyone's wearing their one gear. And it was a good, friendly rivalry, but it was also a little hateful rivalry as well. Like, you knew, like, Oregon did not like Oregon State, and Oregon State did not like Oregon. And I feel like you still get that with some people that are a little bit older in their generation. Like, they still have that true hatred of the opponents, where I think now Oregon has become such a national brand, it's changed a lot. But you're right, when you know, growing up in this state, it was either you got to choose Duck or a Beaver. Like, you got to choose, and you got to choose early. And if you swap, we all know it, we're all going to make fun of you. So
yeah, Atticus Sappington, he like changed
that,
jerseys.
Like,
yeah,
that would never have happened, I mean, 25 years ago. I couldn't imagine that happened. But, I mean, it did happen, though. Wasn't Thomas Tyner? Wasn't that one
yeah,
of them?
Yeah, Thomas Tyner switched sides. He wasn't really playing at Oregon.
Right.
He was, you know, so it was like... But Sappington went from starting kicker to starting kicker.
Right.
That's a big deal.
I do wonder if that's going to happen a little bit more nowadays if Oregon State, let's just say, has a player that's from Oregon. You know,
what about Trent Walker?
Trent Walker, right. Yeah. Like, in Oregon's like, hey, look, man, come on down the road, down I-5, and we can get you a little bit more money. I could see it happening a lot more. But
yeah,
you're right, man. It's just different day and age. But I feel like the hate has gone away from a lot of it. So it was good to kind of hear when you asked Trent Walker, do you ever consider Oregon? He's like, no. Do you have any friends from that play at Oregon? No,
no,
I don't.
I really don't.
Like, I love those answers because it kind of brought back the old school nostalgic of, look, we don't like those guys.
I remember when Chip Kelly got here in the very first year he was coaching a Civil War game, he made a horrendous mistake. He said, you know, it's just like every other game. It's the Super Bowl every week. And people just killed him. He just got killed. And so then in his second season, I can remember it was the Sunday night of, you know, Civil War week's about to start. And Chip Kelly got asked, you know, what do you think of the Civil War?
It's a Super Bowl. Every game's a Super Bowl for us. So I don't know how we can get bigger than that. That's why when people say we diminish it, we're not diminishing. It's the biggest game we're ever going to play. So it's the biggest game ever.
The biggest game ever. And he got killed on it. And remember Pat Kilkenny back in the day. This goes back to like 2008. He was the athletic director at Oregon. And then he went in front of like the Duck Athletic Fund crowd after the Civil War win. And he punctuated.
That was one of the happiest days of my life, Saturday night. And maybe I'm just that shallow. It was a great night to be a Duck. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I was so sick and tired of hearing about the Beavers. And, you know, the Beavers are disadvantaged and we have all this stuff. And that's nonsense. Football is a game of toughness. It isn't about what color your uniform is. We went out in the field and kicked their ass.
Kilkenny laying it on, you know, as he only could. And then, of course, we've got these great montage moments. I'm going to play them throughout the show today. But this was the Civil War in 2010. I'll let this take us to commercial break.
Fourth down, less than a yard at the Oregon 36. No score, first quarter, offset eye. Nichols goes in motion, turn, give to Quiz. Quiz has the first down. Thomas out of split backs, fourth down, gets the pass away, out of shotgun, Paya coming, screen to Barner, and the Beavers have the tackle, and the Beavers get a key stop and take over. On first down, the ball is on the carpet, and I think the Beavers have recovered it, and they have! Cats out of shotgun, letting pull the pass from center, Tats to Quiz, makes the catch, open, touchdown Beavers! And the snap is low, and the kick is blocked. The Beavers, if they can pick it up, can return this. The ball is loose. The Beavers block the extra point. Now they lateral it to Paya. Paya laterals it to Dwight Roberson, and the ball goes out of bounds.
Cats on the snap, straight drop to throw. And, oh, man, the ball's popped up into the air and intercepted by the Ducks at the 30. How about the interception by Terrell Turner? Give it, nope, back to throw. Looking left, now over the middle, throwing to the right. He's got Barner. Touchdown, Oregon! Cats, straight drop time again over the middle. It is tipped and intercepted. Thomas, Levine beside him now. They get the ball, going to come left. Got some room, going to get the corner. 10, 5, 3. He's in for the touchdown. LaMichael James just kind of cruises in on the left-hand corner. Back to throw. Pressure comes. Here's the screen. It's caught by Davis. Get it upfield if he can. Inside of the 10. He's going to score! Drew Davis! Alvarado waits for the snap. No, it's a fake. Oregon runs it. First down up the middle. 40 near midfield. 45, 40, 30. Inside of the 30 to the 25. On the 20-yard line. Inside of the 15 and finally out of bounds. Inside the 10-yard line. And high snap. Give it to Barner. We get nice quartz throw. He's going to score! Barner! Touchdown, Oregon! On the snap. Give it to him again up the middle. He's going to score! LaMichael James! And only a couple of more plays remaining. Oh, and they got him!
Good.
Chip Kelly just got drenched. Coach Kelly just got soaked. And Thomas takes the snap. And the field is rushed by players. And the fans want to come out but won't be able to. But they'll celebrate in the stands as the team heads down to the end zone. And fans everywhere, 114 years they've waited. 2-1. It's official. Oregon is going to be in the BCS championship game. Can you believe the magical season this has become? And it's not over. And somewhere down in that humanity, a soaking wet Chip Kelly is talking to the media about his team and what they have accomplished. Unbelievable to have been a part of this.